is an extract from the Nature podcast.
Ewan, let's talk about the ongoing coronavirus outbreak. Now, we're recording this at the beginning of the week, and this does remain a developing story. But what's been happening since you were on the show this time last week?
Oh, gosh. It's hard to remember what's changed. I mean, the outbreak continues apace, especially in China and especially in Wuhan and in Hubei province. You know, we're seeing thousands more cases, dozens more deaths, more cases outside of China. And in some instances, we're seeing limited human-to-human transmission outside of China.
And at the end of last week, the WHO took a big step in potentially trying to control the outbreak.
Yeah, exactly. The World Health Organization has set up an emergency response committee to coordinate its response to this outbreak. And a week prior, it had a two-day meeting in which it decided not to declare the outbreak a public health emergency of international concern. Last week, after another meeting, it changed that decision and decided that this constitutes a global health emergency.
What does this mean for efforts to control the virus?
I think it's a signal to governments around the world that this is something that they need to be paying attention to and developing plans for. And in the announcement, or in the justification for the announcement, the WHO emphasized that, you know, it's really, I wouldn't say worried, but it, you know, the focus is on lower resource countries that might not have capacity to easily deal with this, and that, you know, we need to be really thinking what happens when this virus gets to, you know, certain countries in Africa, you know, other parts of Asia, et cetera.
Well, reports coming out right now, Ewan, suggesting that deaths from this virus in China are higher than in the SARS outbreak in 2002-2003. Last time you were on the show, you were talking about the beginnings of looking at the genetic information within this virus, and it seems like there may be some similarities between the two.
I think we've known from when the first genome sequence was made public in early mid-January that this is a virus closely related to SARS and other viruses that have been found since that 2002-2003 outbreak that tend to circulate in bats. Not identical by any means, but it is related to this kind of broader group of viruses. You know, I think we're seeing more and more genome sequences come out. I think it's in the 50s that are publicly available from around the world, and people are starting to study the distribution of these. It's clear from them that, you know, the virus is spreading in humans, which was abundantly clear. Anyway, a colleague of mine said that, you know, one of the major unanswered questions that people are quite interested in is the animal source of this outbreak. We know these viruses circulate in bats, but we think it's another intermediate animal that might be responsible. And apparently, testing of the wild animal and fish market in Wuhan, where we think this was the epicenter of the outbreak, they turned up some environmental DNA. This is just what I've heard, and that could help pin that down, figure out what genetic changes were potentially needed to make the jump to humans. You know, a lot of this we don't really know.
And you've been looking at labs trying to grow live virus. What sort of inferences can researchers make from that sort of thing?
Yeah, so this is kind of different, but kind of definitely related chain of research. So a handful of labs around the world are working on culturing the virus from patient samples in China, in Europe, in Hong Kong, in the US. And they're getting ready to share these virus samples with other labs worldwide. And I guess, you know, this is just kind of ramping up the study of this virus. I mean, they want to develop animal models that mimic human infection so they can test drugs and vaccines. They want to develop better tests for the infection. You know, the current test is not very good or not very quick. And they want to study the basic biology of this virus and how it compares to the virus that caused SARS, and, you know, see what are the similarities and what are the differences, and see, you know, throughout this outbreak, you know, are we seeing changes to make this virus more or less virulent, more or less transmissible, those sorts of questions. So, you know, I think in the coming days, we're going to see virology labs around the world really kind of snapping to action as they get hold of samples.
Well, that may sound like a broken record, and ask you this for the third time in as many weeks. What do we think happens next?
I mean, we're going to continue to see more cases, especially in China and Wuhan. That much is clear. I guess the question is, are measures being taken in China, are they going to eventually cause a plateauing in the number of new cases? That remains to be seen. And I guess, you know, we're going to be looking at cases appearing in other countries and whether we get sustained transmission there, and instead of just, you know, one person who came from China or Wuhan spreading it to a spouse or a close contact, are we getting, you know, secondary and tertiary, you know, an additional spread? I don't think there's any evidence that that's happening. So yeah, it's just kind of watch and wait. But, you know, just a reminder that most of this is happening in China and especially in Wuhan. That's where the vast majority of cases and vast majority of deaths are. And, you know, that's where maybe a lot of the urgent epidemiology is.